Good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you with us. Psalm 18, please. Psalm 18 is a description of the hazards of life. Sometimes things are uncontrollable. It tells us a story about when others attack you. And the attack is incessant. It doesn't stop. But it also pictures, I think, the spiritual part of life. Amen? We have those kinds of spiritual things in our life that attack us, that bring us down, that can cause depression and discontentment. And certainly we have a master enemy called Satan. As Saul attempted to take David's life and ruin his life, Satan does that to us. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, listen very carefully, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to ruin you. And Saul's intent, a man who started out right and ended so wrong, his hatred for David was overwhelming. Satan is not your friend. He hates what you do. He hates where you are today. He hates how you live. And he wants to damage everything about that. If he can ruin your testimony, he can affect your world in such a negative way. In these verses we're going to look at, verses 19 through 23, the very last phrase of 19 tells us, as do the next four verses. They tell us about why God delivered David. Why did he do it? First of all, David mentions his deliverance and what it looked like and how it shaped what was going to happen. You remember those early verses, David described himself as being under attack, as being hemmed in, as being in a tight spot where he couldn't move one way or the other. Pressure was coming down on him. It was hard to look up. He was in a confined space. And didn't see a way out. But listen to verse 19. Verse 19 says, he, God, brought me forth into a large place, all God's people said. It's a big difference from verses 4 and 5. Where he is confined and constrained in a small, tight place where he couldn't move. He was afraid to go this way, afraid to go that way, afraid to stick his head out. He lived a a great portion of that time in a cave. But it says here that God did something incredible when he delivered him. And listen, this is the key phrase. He changed his condition. He changed David's condition. When you go through a difficulty in life, a heartache, a sorrow, a struggle, and you're in that, when you go through that, if your attitude is right, God will change your condition completely. You'll see things differently. You'll understand things better. You'll trust God more. You'll be a different believer. When you learn the lesson that God has to teach you through the difficulties of life. And David learned that, and God changed his condition. The Bible says, describes it as placing him in a large room. He brought me into a large place. At least three things come to mind to me when I think about this concerning David. Number one, what kind of place was it? Well, I think number one, it was a place of expanse. It says a large place, does it not? A place of expanse. Have you ever been in a circumstance that's so tight that you can't move? You're afraid to go one way, you're afraid to go another. You're bound in that position. And as God works in your life and works through this circumstance, this trouble you're facing, it can even be a traumatic thing. The space narrows, and then it gets broad. The light comes in, and God is there, and you have a bigger place. Movement is not impaired any longer because God has brought you into a better position, all God's people said. Amen. Folks, what a picture that is of what can happen in your life when you just do what God asks you to do. You follow where God leads, regardless of how it may appear to you, and it doesn't always appear good. Amen. Have you ever heard the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? That's where you're at sometimes. You're in a difficult position. And what God does, he comes in and he changes your condition by bringing you into a large place, a place of expanse. Number two, it's a place of liberty. You're finally free. Amen? Amen? That happened when you got saved. Free from the law, the old song says. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Amen? Amen. You were freed freed from sin when Christ came into your life. You had, for the first time in your life, true liberty. Christ gave you peace. He applied His grace and gave you the ability to live in a life of freedom in Him. That happened at salvation. And I would say to you, it happens during your Christian life. Sometimes you don't know which way to turn or which way to go, and God comes in and opens the door. And you see in a new way your life. It's brighter. It's bigger. It's greater. Dr. B.R. Lakin used to preach years ago for Dr. Falwell down at Liberty. Before that, he was the pastor of the great Cadel Baptist Tabernacle in Ohio. I mean, in Indiana. And he preached there 3 and 4 times a week to 5,000 to 10,000 people every single night. He was telling a story about how he got into a position where he didn't know the answers to what was going to be the next place, the next step, the next thing he was going to do. He said it got so overbearing that he would go to his office and just pillow his head in his arms and lay his head on the desk. He said, I never felt so alone, so fearful, so away from God. And he said, as I prayed, God seemed to come into my room. Amen? God showed up. And as only he could describe it, he said this, that night, God kicked over a keg of honey in my heart. It's been oozing now for 40 years. Then he said, bless God, I think the honeybees are going to swarm tonight. Amen? God opened the narrow way and gave you a wide way. It's a place of expanse, a place of liberty. And I just have to say it's a place of enrichment. Amen. Spiritual enrichment, mental enrichment, physical enrichment. It changed David's whole condition. It made him view God in a different way. Trust God more. So, David says in verse 19, God did something. God delivered him. He changed his, by changing his condition. And in the last part of verse 19 through the next 4 verses, he tells us why. Maybe you picked it up in verse 19. He said, says this, he brought me also into a large place. He delivered me. Here's why. Here's why. Because he delighteth in me. We sometimes get a wrong view of God. A wrong view of God can ruin your life, can drag you down to depths you didn't think you could possibly go. Have you ever asked yourself the question, Does God really love me? Maybe you gave a theological answer. Well, I know the Bible says he does. That's not what I asked. Does God love you? Do you know that? Have you experienced that? If you know that, then you must view God the Bible way rather than the human way. The human way says, no, God is against me. God is judicial. When I do something wrong, his judgment's right there. We get in a kind of performance kind of Christianity where if I do enough good things, then God will be good to me. If I do bad things, then God's mean to me. Both of those things are unscriptural. You can't find them in the Bible with reference to a believer. Grace is unmerited favor. Get this. Grace is unmerited favor. There's not a solitary thing you can do that will merit 1 ounce of grace from God. And yet we try to perform right, to do right, to act right. We've swallowed the wrong pill. It's wrong. What David discovered is, in all of that turmoil he was going through, think of this, of all that he was facing, David finally realized God delights in me. That's unbelievable. God delights in me. No matter who you are, if you're a believer here today, God delights in you. Think of that. The God of heaven, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, unchangeable God of heaven, delights in puny me. Do you see how important you are to God? He changed his condition by delighting in David. If you want to see a picture of that, jump back just a couple of verses. Verse 16 says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. That phrase, sent from above, is a phrase of angelic encouragement. Angelic provision. He sent from above. If God could unveil our eyes for a moment, we would see the angelic provision for each of our lives. Angels care for the saints. Angels are interested in what you're doing. And David, I can see him sitting in that den in the corner of that cave. And he finally came to the realization that God delighted in him and that God was protecting him through all of these circumstances. How did he escape that? How did he get out of that? How did he turn that way? Why did he turn that way? Because God was in the protection business. Amen. He sent from above. Psalm 34:7 says, the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. You remember the Acts 5. Peter was thrown into prison. Do you remember that? And there was a group of people that got together in a house, and the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. They prayed around the clock. The Bible says God sent an angel. You remember? Opened the gates of the prison, and you talk about being in a small place and being moved to a large place. He's now out of prison. Now here's the great one. That's the great story. He walks all the way down the street and finds that house. Knocks on the door. Little gal shows up. Those people in there praying. And he says, hey, I need to get in. Her eyes got big as silver dollars. She ran back to that group and said, Peter's at the door. They said, oh, don't be so silly. We prayed all that, you know. I'm going to trust God. That didn't happen. What are you talking about? Peter can't be at the door. He's in jail. Well, haven't you been praying for his release? No. It's just a great story. They opened the door and Peter came in. Shock of all shocks, God answered our prayer. God moved Peter from a small place into a large place. He delivered him because he delighted in him. And he did it by the power of angels, according to verse 16. Verse 16, it also says, he took me. That phrase took means to pull out of or to draw from trouble. In fact, it says, he drew me out of many waters. You ever felt like you're drowning? You're going down for the last count. Somebody reaches down and grabs you and pulls you out. My dad tried to teach me how to swim. He got tired of teaching me. We're at a lake swimming, and we're on this rocky area. The water down below this rocky area is probably about 10 feet deep. I said, I want to swim. He said, okay. Got fed up with trying to teach me. So he grabbed me by my shorts, threw me in the water. 10 feet deep. I found out something very quickly at that time of my age. I can't float. I failed later when I was 16, 17, trying for my water safety instructor's license, that I couldn't float. I was like sink like a rock. I went right down to the bottom. And I know I was laying there looking up. I was about 8 or 9 years old. And all of a sudden, a hand came down and grabbed me and pulled me to the top. It was my dad. That's what God did for David. David was down and looking up. And it doesn't look good from there. But God reached down in his mercy and pulled David up. It says he took me. He drew me out of many waters. And the thought there is he'd been down there a few times. Then verse 17 says,
that God intervened. This is the greatest of delight when it says in verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy, that would be Saul, and from them which hated me, Saul's soldiers and those that followed him, for they were too strong for me. You ever heard the silly statement, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? That you're the captain of your fate, you are not. There are some things, folks. A young person told me, said one time, said, I can do anything that I set my mind to. I said, that's not true. Said, it's not. I said, no, it's not true. You can do anything God allows you to set your mind to, but you can't do it in yourself. And David learned that this enemy is too strong for him. He couldn't fight them. He couldn't win. He could not defeat them in battle. It was wrong to try. When he came to that realization, he realized that the only answer was divine intervention. God sometimes intervenes in our life with human agency. He helps us. Sends someone along to carry you through. But sometimes it's with personal divine intervention where he comes down by himself and helps us. It was necessary for God to do so because David's enemy was too strong for him. You have an enemy that's too strong for you. And you can't defeat him. You need God's help. God changed David's condition by delighting in him. There's a third thing. Why did God do it? David declares God did it because he wanted to reward David's faithfulness. Look at verse 20. He wanted to reward David for his faithfulness. Verse 20 says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now, please, that's not how good he was, because we're not good in and of ourselves, amen? This righteousness has to do with the kind of attitude or character he displayed because he was following God. It's his actions, his rightness, his living correctly, if you please. Hard to put a mark on David. He was a righteous man. He responded righteously in adversity. How we respond in adversity tells a lot about us. Do you blow up? Do you get mad? How do you respond in adversity? You blame God? I remember when those two towers went down. I don't know if it affected you like it affected me, but I was in shock. September 11th, 2000. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm sure you do. Down those towers went. Do you remember how churches were open? The doors were open. People came there to pray. You remember that? And it was just in a few weeks, the whole tenor changed. It was no more thank you. It was, why would God do that? Do you remember that? Why did God allow nearly 3,000 people to die? Why? And I thought to myself, why did God not allow 70,000 to die who were in that same building? Who did not die, who got away, who did escape, who were delivered. God's a good God. When we respond in adversity, in righteousness, tells a lot about you. He goes on to say in this same verse, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. That's an interesting phrase. It's an Old Testament phrase, and it really talks, it's just talking about moral excellence. Amen? Moral excellence, cleanness of hands, his behavior toward others, his clean living, if you please, his moral soundness. Saul hated David, but he couldn't find a fault with him. When he tried to take David's life, David had several ample opportunities to return the favor and did not. In fact, David said, I dare not even touch God's anointed. He would not so much as raise his own hand to defend himself. Verse 21. Why did God do it? Listen to verse 21. For I have kept the way of the Lord, all God's people said. I'll tell you why God rewarded David. He was obedient. Kept gives a thought of to follow, to heed, to observe, to do what was right. I have kept his way. That word way is the path that God lines out for you. I followed that way. That path sometimes turns the way you don't want to turn. Sometimes that path leads in a direction you don't seem to understand. Sometimes that direction can be difficult, even debilitating, harsh, frightful. All those things were true to David, and yet he followed the way. He followed it all the way until God delivered him. Sometimes the way is obscured. You can't see it. I've been there many times. Lord, I don't know what to do. I simply don't know what to do. We were building a building in our church in Michigan. I hired a fellow to do that. Deacons met with him. We were satisfied with his resume and seemed to be the right kind of person to build a building, and we hired him, and 4 months later, nothing much was being done. So we called him. We couldn't find him. We couldn't get a hold of him. Long story short, he absconded with $240,000 of our money. Said he was a believer. Now, I'd be lying to you if I told you I just forgave him. What I wanted to do was knock his head off. But sitting there in my office, there's nothing I could do. I couldn't find him. And the pressure was overwhelming. How on earth do I go to the church and tell them the $240,000 is gone? We found out later that he had not paid the electrician a dime. He had not paid the installers of the water safety system a dime. We owed outstanding $60,000 or $70,000 in those two bills alone. The way was obscured. I didn't know what to do. Sometimes the way is overwhelming, and that's what happened to me. It overwhelmed me. I finally called a meeting, and all the men came, and we sat down, and I explained to them what had happened. And I was expecting them to say, "We've already signed our paper, you're out of here." And they would have been certainly justified in doing so. But they said, "Pastor, you can't control what someone else does." God intervened in that thing. And a very rich Baptist man who had a set aside $40 million of his money to help churches. He sent us the money to pay that off completely. All God's people said. Though I was doubting the way, we stayed in the way, and God delivered us in the way. Then in verse 22, "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not," listen to this, "I did not put away his statutes from me." There's something about that kind of attitude, amen? And I think that what David's trying to tell us here is that when you have the right attitude about what God is doing and the right attitude about what you are doing, they should meet. Amen? The reason they don't meet is because, well, God's ways never change, but ours change like the winter months. And God wants you to move in a direction so that you understand that what he's doing is right and proper, and you're just going to keep the right attitude. We don't talk much about attitude in the Christian realm anymore. But you know what? A great deal of what you do in the Christian life is attitude. Attitude, the right attitude. He had the right attitude about God's truth, verse 22. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. That's the right attitude. God set out the boundaries. God set the rules. God established the principles. And David said, I didn't move one way or the other. I just followed them. I just did what God wanted. Then in verse 23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. That word upright has to do with the heart. Literally, you could say he kept the right heart attitude. The upright is right-heartedness. And it's right-heartedness and toward God. And right-heartedness toward the condition he was in. And right-heartedness according to his expectation in God, not in himself. He had the right attitude. Well, why did God do it? David told us these four verses. He delighted in him because I delighted in him. Because I was obedient to him. Because my attitude was proper toward him. And because my attitude was a heart attitude of gratitude to God for what God was doing, regardless of the circumstance. Don't measure your life by circumstance. They change every day. And if you're going to rely on circumstance, you're never going to be happy. You know happiness works, don't you? You're happy as long as the circumstances are okay. Right? As soon as they go south, guess what? You're not happy. Joy is different. Joy comes from inside you. And joy happens because of what God's done in your life. And you can be joyful regardless of the circumstance. That's what God wants in your life. The right attitude. And he will reward you. David shared with us today why God decided to deliver David. And it was because of David's response in a proper way to what God was doing. Lord, help us to respond properly. God, we might be careful. We don't move in a direction we should not move. We do not go in a way that we should not go. But we just trust you. Dear Lord, trust you to do what you can do and only you can do. God, be with us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.